15. Pompeo returned from Pyongyang in April with a letter from Kim expressing an openness to meet and passed it to Trump. The president wasted no time writing back. "I agree with everything you said," Trump wrote in a letter to Kim dated April 3rd, "and have very little doubt that our meeting will be a momentous one for both our countries and for the rest of the world." Plans for their meeting got underway. It was a remarkable pivot in relations between the chairman and the president, who just months earlier had been exchanging insults that were unusually personal. The diplomatic courtship between Trump and Kim in 2018 and 2019 is captured in 27 letters that I obtained, and 25 are reported here for the first time. Florid and grandiloquent, they trace how the two forged a personal and emotional bond. Trump has personally said they are love letters. They are more than that. They reveal a decision by both to become friends. Whether genuine or not, probably only history will tell. The language is not out of the traditional diplomatic playbook. They resemble declarations of personal fealty that might be uttered by the Knights of the Round Table, or perhaps suitors. A first meeting was nearly scuttled after Trump was quoted suggesting in a May 17, 2018 meeting that if Kim didn't make a deal with Trump, he could meet a fate similar to slain Libyan leader Muammar al-Gaddafi, who was overthrown in 2011. The model, if you look at that model with Gaddafi, that was a total decimation, Trump said publicly. We went in there to beat him. Now that model would take place if we don't make a deal, most likely. But if we make a deal, I think Kim Jong-un is going to be very, very happy. North Korea's Vice Foreign Minister Choi Son-hee responded, "Whether the U.S. will meet us at a meeting room or encounter us at a nuclear-to-nuclear showdown is entirely dependent upon the decision and behavior of the United States." On May 24th, Trump wrote Kim a letter canceling the summit. "Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting," Trump wrote. He tweeted out a copy of the letter. But the dispute was short-lived. South Korean President Moon Jae-in helped arrange talks between American and North Korean diplomats on the North Korean side of the border on May 27th, and the summit was back on schedule just days after Trump had canceled it. Kim wrote to Trump on May 29th that he had great expectations for the summit, an event the entire world is focusing on. He added, "I sincerely hope that our first meeting, about to happen at no small pains, will lead to more wonderful and meaningful meetings." On June 12th, 2018, Trump and Kim finally met at the Capella Hotel in Singapore, beginning their summit at 9:05 a.m. local time. The two shook hands before the news media for about 12 seconds before turning to the cameras. "Holy shit," the president later told me he said to himself. The moment made a memorable impression on him. He claimed the wall of news cameras was among the largest he had ever seen in his life, even more than he had seen in Hollywood at the Academy Awards. After shaking hands, the two retreated to a one-on-one meeting. Trump later said he found Kim to be far beyond smart. In their initial meeting, Trump said, the two leaders talked about the tremendous potential North Korea had. Trump said he told Kim he didn't want to remove him, alluding to the Gaddafi threat, and he wanted him to lead the country to greatness. "It could be one of the greatest economic powers of the world," Trump recalled saying. "It's locationally situated between China, Russia, and South Korea." By the end of the meeting, Trump and Kim signed a short four-point agreement. The most consequential part of the agreement said that North Korea, reaffirming its earlier agreement with South Korea, commits to work toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Kim did not return from the summit empty-handed. Trump said he would guarantee North Korea's security. In a news conference after the meeting, Trump made a surprise announcement. The United States would be ending joint military exercises with South Korea. The North Korean regime had long seen the joint exercises as a threat. We will be stopping the war games, which will save us a tremendous amount of money, unless and until we see the future negotiation is not going along like it should, Trump said. But we'll be saving a tremendous amount of money. Plus, I think it's very provocative. While the detente with North Korea was far from complete, Trump was quick to declare the trip a success. Just landed. A long trip, but everybody can now feel much safer than the day I took office, Trump wrote in a tweet the morning of June 13th. There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. In a second tweet, Trump added, Before taking office, people were assuming that we were going to war with North Korea. President Obama said that North Korea was our biggest and most dangerous problem. No longer. Sleep well tonight. Trump's 391-word agreement with Kim did not end the nuclear threat from North Korea. It simply reaffirmed a loosely worded declaration that Kim had signed with South Korea in April 2018. The agreement was less specific regarding denuclearization than prior agreements Kim's predecessors had signed in 1992 and 2005 during the Clinton and Bush administrations. Saying it doesn't make it so. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, the Democratic minority leader, said in remarks on the Senate floor on June 13th. North Korea still has nuclear weapons. It still has ICBMs. It still has the United States in danger. Somehow, President Trump thinks when he says something, it becomes reality. Mattis was taken completely by surprise that Trump had canceled the training exercises with South Korea. In accordance with Trump's announcement, Mattis suspended major military exercises such as Ulchi Freedom Guardian, an annual exercise which involved 18,000 U.S. troops and up to 50,000 South Korean troops. Smaller units, however, needed to train, Mattis told Trump. We're not going to have the troops sitting in the barracks. That's no good. The troops are worthless to you as president. They're worthless to me as Secretary of Defense if they are not out there training. He reminded the president that these troops in South Korea rotated to and from Iraq and Afghanistan. They needed to be battle ready. There is too much emphasis on terrorism and fighting the old Bush wars, Trump said. That is so the terrorists can't come after the United States here, Mattis replied, as happened with the 9/11 attacks. I always hear that, Trump complained. That means we've got to fight everywhere in the world. No, it doesn't, sir. Back at the Pentagon, Mattis ordered a workaround. All platoon, company, battalion, brigade-level exercises, regimental exercises continue, he said. Air group continues. Naval exercises continue. The president doesn't mean we're all going to sit in the barracks now and look at the walls, okay, guys? So let's not everybody suck their thumbs. Smaller exercises with regiment-sized units made up of several thousand troops didn't have to be briefed back to Washington. Only the high-level exercises were in the president's crosshairs. Mattis reduced those to command post and communication network exercises. They won't have troops in the field. No field maneuvers, nothing that could be called a war game. In South Korea, the U.S. and South Korea Commander General Brooks quickly worked to reduce the visibility of the exercises. He immediately scaled back the size of units, changed the timing, and lowered the volume of communications so there was less public news about the training and less in view of Kim and Trump. Mattis was frustrated with the message being sent to China, Russia, and North Korea. What we're doing is we're actually showing how to destroy America, he said later. That's what we're showing them. How to isolate us from all our allies. How to take us down. And it's working very well. We are declaring war on one another inside America. It's actually working against us right now.